You're listening to Muse Live, anytime, any place, any show. Featuring the one and only Muse.
Thanks for tuning in and welcome back to Muse Live. I'm your host, Thomas Hunt, and today we're doing our after show for Loki, Episode 3, Lamentis. This episode got a lot of mixed reviews. It's different from any episode we've had before of Loki, and I don't necessarily mean that in a good way. It didn't feature the TVA at all. The TVA were completely absent from this episode, and we got a cliffhanger with Judge Renslayer in the second episode, and her going to the Timekeepers, which some people are saying she's not going to the Timekeepers. She's going to the Timekeepers. Let's be honest here. And she's like, it's going to be some sort of like mystical, I'm calling it now, it's going to be some sort of mystical room. But like, I don't know, like a throne room or something crazy. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be nuts. So we're probably going to see it in the fourth episode, I'm guessing, or they're just going to keep doing this thing with them being stuck on the planet and not go to it until like the fifth episode. I think it's a 6-episode series, Loki is. So we're halfway through, I think. So I really hope we get the thing with the Timekeepers and we get her going to the Timekeepers, which she is. She's going to the Timekeepers, in case you don't know what my opinion is on that. I think she's going to the Timekeepers. We haven't seen what happened with Mobius. We haven't seen what happened to all of the TVA agents, to the entire, you know, multiverse being created. So we were kind of left on a cliff. Not kind of. We were entirely left on a cliffhanger there. And then we picked up and we didn't get really any answers to anything that we wanted. So I understand why some people were disappointed by this episode. And I myself was disappointed by this episode. I first watched it and I waited until it released, like I always do. And I watched it, and immediately as soon as it came out, I started having bad feelings about it, because, number one, the episode was also shorter than any episode we'd had before. It's still a long episode. I think it's probably the same length as WandaVision's finale, so again, I'm still loving the episode length. It's just shorter than anything we've had before. We were at, like, 50 minutes, now we're at, like, 43 minutes. Or 45, no, I think it was like 43 or lower, around 43 minutes for this episode, which is still a very good length. It's a good length. I just, I like the 15-minute thing. Again, I'm not complaining, but still, it's short. It was a shorter episode, so I was already getting bad feelings. I saw the episode. It was called Lamentis, so I went ahead and I started to watch it, and I was really hyped, really excited, actually, because I was interested to see what the deal was with Lamentis and the giant moon that we saw crashing down, and the trailer shots, which I guess is going to be in episode 4 now. What a lot of people are saying is that not much happened in this episode. There was filler. And I will agree with them on that. It was filler, and not much happened in this episode by Loki standards. By Loki standards, this episode is filler. By Loki standards, not much happened in this episode. But by other television standards, this would be some crazy finale stuff here. We're still looking at finale stuff here. They're trapped on a moon with no way out. Episode before the finale, because it's a cliffhanger, but you get what I mean. Some big stuff. They're trapped on a planet with no way out. The moon is crashing down on top of them. I think it's a planet, actually, my bad. A planet's about to crash down upon them and kill them all. And they really have no way out of this. Their ship, the quote-unquote Ark, just got destroyed, which is, of course, a biblical reference to Noah's Ark and the Old Testament. So that there's that nod. I don't know if it's even really a nod at this point. It's just kind of you're in an apocalypse and you're naming your one way out the Ark. It's kind of a trope at this point. I don't really mind people naming it an Ark in movies and stuff. It's not a cliche per se. It's just something common that you'd see. Just thought I'd point that out. It was a fun episode. I will say I sat there for a while thinking and were waiting for us to cut to the TVA and see what crazy stuff was happening, because we're still left on that cliche. And I think that's the biggest problem with this episode, is that we didn't get to see. We were left on cliffhanger and nothing was answered about that cliffhanger. And I think that's why this episode got so many negative reviews. I think that's the main problem that they had with this episode. Another thing that there was a lot of exposition this episode. We learned how Sylvie's powers work. We learned about Loki's past. We learned about her past a little bit. And it seems like she had a different mother that wasn't Frigga. Obviously, Loki's mother wasn't Frigga either, but he was adopted. It seems like she had a different adopted mother and potentially no adopted father, or a different adopted father. A theory that's been circulating out there is that maybe her mother was Hela, which could be interesting. I wouldn't see it. It definitely isn't outside the realm of possibility. Again, we have to think in our world, would Kate Blanchett come back to reprise her role as Hela in this film? In the series? I don't think so. So maybe we'll see like Hela from the back or something. It's the character, but just we don't see her face. And we don't hear her voice. Or maybe we just don't. Maybe we just don't see Hela, but she says, you know, my mother is Hela, goddess of death or whatever. Maybe she just says it and we don't see it. I don't know. It's very possible that Hela could be her adopted mother. I could definitely see that. And there's another interesting part where Sylvie says that she's been running from the TVA for her whole life. So this is something that I was thinking about, when, you know, we get the whole reveal that she is, that Loki is a woman, that we have Lady Loki. And I mean, I kind of knew that there was going to be Lady Loki all along from the start, you know? I've predicted that before the first episode came out, but I'm not taking credit for that. A lot of people predicted that before the first episode came out, just based off of trailer stuff and, really, availability. I have a couple theories on who Richard E. Grant might be playing, and he has an yet unnamed role, so I think it's going to be big. It's going to be a big twist. It's going to be something big, and I'm going to talk about that later in this episode. So getting back to the point, if Sylvie, from the moment, you know, when she was a baby, and even in whatever Frost Giant's stomach, you know, as soon as the chromosomes organize themselves, I'm not an expert on this subject. If you're an expert on the subject, don't get mad at me. I really don't know much about it. I don't know too much about it. Anyway, when the child is a girl in the mother's stomach, at like, I don't know, 3 months or something. Anyway, when there's a baby in the mother's stomach, wouldn't that technically, just her being a girl, be enough to warrant a reset by the TVA? Because in their sacred timeline, Loki is a guy in the sacred timeline. And also seems to have different power, or doesn't seem, has different powers. But it seems like they both have the same potential for the power, for these powers, because they both learned magic from different people. So it's magic that they learned, not magic that they were born with. Which, I mean, we know about Loki, but we now know that about Sylvie. Her quote-unquote powers are just magic that she learned from her mother, who was had to be different from Frigga, because Frigga taught Loki a certain kind of magic. We don't really know. There are a bunch of different kinds of magic. There's the Doctor Strange thing. There's the Dormammu magic thing. There's a lot of magic. So let's just say it was a different kind of magic until further notice. They were both, you know, shopping for eggs, and they got, one guy got one brand, the other guy got the other kind of brand. So anyway, wouldn't, and I was thinking this is a plot hole, like, wouldn't she have been from on the run from the TVA literally her whole life since she was, you know, conceived? And apparently so. So, literally your whole life you're on the run from the TVA. So, I mean, I don't really understand why she's not really, she's not a fan of the TVA. You know, they've just been trying to kill her, you know, whole life. I don't know why she's not fans of the TVA. I thought she would have liked them after a healthy, happy experience like that. Real heartwarming, I can stop doing this bit now. So they mended that plot hole there, which, does it count as a plot hole if it was originally meant, if it was already mended? Because by the time these episodes come out, they were all made a while ago, so I'm not going to even count that as a plot hole. But yeah, so we get that confirmation. So she's has a hatred of the TVA, and for seemingly good reason. Again, the TVA is, the sacred timeline has just been bombed, the multiverse is in chaos, and yet we still don't know what's going on. But we get to have their, you know, buddy cop duo space adventures in on a doomed planet where everyone's gonna die. So, that's fun. I think we all, another problem with this episode, and I'm not trying to be negative about this, there's a lot that I liked about this episode, but there was just, there were a couple glaring things that I didn't really like either. It's a lot like a prequel movie for me, you know, and this is a common complaint among prequels, and it's a complaint that's being raised against Black Widow right now, it's not even out yet, is that the stakes, there are no stakes. Really, because it's a prequel movie, and you know that character is going to be fine. We all know Loki, and obviously Loki is in a prequel series, but we all know they're not going to kill off Loki or Sylvie in this, and they're going to miraculously find a way to escape off-world, or they're going to be picked up by the TVA, which is, I think, is the case. They're going to be picked up by the TVA somehow, right before they all die. So That's my prediction. They're going to be picked up by the TVA and then brought in and arrested and all that. Let's see. Where was I? So a lot of the stakes have been taken out of it. And that can be a problem when you have, an episode that it centers around your characters possibly dying from this giant catastrophe that we all know is going to, then you have your characters in this giant apocalypse, but you know all the characters are going to be fine. It's like, The Walking Dead, but you know that, but none of the main characters can die, you know? You're not afraid that they're going to get eaten by the zombies or killed by whatever. I don't know, I don't watch The Walking Dead. I don't know why I use that as an analogy. You're not afraid they're gonna be eaten by zombies because you have confirmation all those characters are gonna live. It just wouldn't make sense to kill off Sylvie or Loki narratively. I don't think they're ever gonna kill off Loki in this series because Loki is the main title character. Sylvie, it would make no sense to kill Sylvie off either because she is the main anti-hero, the antagonist for the Loki series, as of right now. Again, Loki is right about the TVA. They are not, the good guys here. I'm not entirely sure if they're the bad guys. This entire series is dealing with a lot of gray. Sylvie is a gray area, and I mean, she's been on the run from the TVA her whole life. And the TVA is also a gray area because the timekeepers are bad. But the TVA agents themselves have been brainwashed. So again, it's a gray area. I wouldn't condemn the TVA agents. I would condemn the timekeepers, absolutely. Or I would condemn Richard E. Grant's character, He Who Remains. Yep, that's my guess. I think Richard E. Grant is playing He Who Remains, the final TVA agent left at the end of time who creates the TVA. That's how the TVA was created in the comics. That's how I suspect they might go with it here. Again, there's still my theory that Kang the Conqueror is behind this, and that Kang is, you know, pruning the timelines just so it's just perfect so he can conquer, enter and conquer the world, basically. Pruning the timeline so it's going to be perfect for, ripe for the picking. So there's that theory, which I still think is plausible. Or we have He Who Remains. It's a weird name. He Who Remains be the final TVA agent played by Richard E. Grant. It's an old guy, like a really, really, really old guy. And Richard E. Grant is not a really, really, really old guy, but I mean, he's older than anyone else in this series. So I think if anyone was going to be playing He Who Remains, it would definitely be Richard E. Grant. Or and another thing that's out there is he's playing an older version of Loki, which, I mean, sure, we could see an older version of Loki, but what would be the intrigue behind that? Like, we see older Loki, it's Loki, but older? I don't really get the intrigue behind that, or the suspense, or why we would really want to see a slightly older Loki. Technically a lot older Loki, because, you know, Asgardians age very, very slowly. But an older Loki, I'm not really sure what the appeal behind that is. I don't know if it would be as groundbreaking as something like He Who Remains. You know, he turns around, it's Loki, and he turns around, oh, it's old Loki. Whoa! As opposed to, you know, we see, like, the literal end of time with the final timekeeper of the TVA creating the TVA, creating kind of like a grandfather paradox here. Which is insane. And then I just think it would be a lot cooler to see Richard E. Grant playing He Who Remains. I think something that we could see happen that would be really funny, or I don't know if it'd be funny, it would be mind-blowing, is if instead of Kang being behind the curtains printing the timeline, it was He Who Remains. Or, and hear me out on this one, this is combining the two theories, He Who Remains is a version of Kang. There's another version of Kang, so they retcon it. So He Who Remains is another version of Kang at the end of time, played by Richard E. Grant. And I just came up with this on the spot. I don't know how much sense that would make, seeing as Jonathan Majors and Richard E. Grant look nothing alike. But I don't know. I think there have been times in the comics where Kang looks completely different than another Kang. So it's possible that it could be like a variation of Kang. Again, that might be too confusing, but it could be possible that a variation of Kang, He Who Remains, is behind all of this. I think it's the least likely of the three options that I proposed. I think the most likely is that it's He Who Remains. I think an insane one that would blow out everyone's minds is that it's Kang the Conqueror. And I think it might just confuse people if we go into the whole He Who Remains thing, but it's also Kang the Conqueror. I think that might confuse some people. It might confuse a lot of people. I just think that might be something interesting if we're combining the two, and that way we get Kang and He Who Remains. Saying He Who Remains is starting to turn into a tongue twister. So overall, though, I do think Richard E. Grant is playing He Who Remains. It just makes the most sense to me, and I would really love to see maybe the reveal of He Who Remains in the episode in episode four, whatever that's going to be titled. I would love to see a reveal of He Who Remains. That would be really, really cool. You know, the last TVA agent at the end of time. Let's see. So what else? What else am I predicting? Okay. This is probably going to be a shorter episode than we've ever done before. On Loki, there's just not a lot to go over, really. Let's see. So theories. I think we might see clone Mobius. So like a few different Mobiuses or a few different versions of Mobiuses. Oh, big thing, by the way, in the episode that I somehow have missed this entire time. It's confirmed that the TVA agents are all variants. Like my theory before, so I have again, and again, not trying to brag, but I have called it. I really love this series because I'm on a winning streak and I'm calling things left and right and I'm just on a roll. Again, not trying to brag, but I'm just... it's a really awesome feeling when you predict something and it actually happens. And when... I should probably... I don't have the equipment to record my... to do reactions of me watching Loki, but... Oh, man, my... I freak out during some of these things. And for example, when she said that all the TVA agents were variants, I freaked out. I did like the whole freak out moment. And again, my friend, I don't know what his reaction was to that, because he actually hasn't listened to any of these Loki episodes, Loki after shows yet. And if you're listening to this and you know who you are, you're finally listening to these now, and you can finally see what I was pointing out. And now you finally get why I was so freaked out when I watched that. Anyway, so this is major, and let's see. Let's do an ad break, okay? We'll be right back after these messages. And we are back. Thanks for listening to that quick ad. And what this means is, this is huge, because the TVA agents obviously all think that they were created by the Timekeepers to preserve... Well, I'm going to have to do the Mobius voice here. They think they were all created by a Timekeepers to prune and protect the sacred timeline. Sorry about that. So yes, so the quote-unquote sacred timeline, as Mobius puts it, is the reason why they were all created. So the Timekeepers can keep on, deciding the fate of the sacred timeline. Things can be changed. Like, for example, as has been hinted several times, Loki could be given his freedom to return back to the MCU if he does well. And the Timekeepers decide, you know, I mean, he's done some good work. Let's meddle with the timeline a little bit, because somehow that can happen and not mess up the quote-unquote sacred timeline. There are holes, and these holes are intentional in the Timekeepers' plan. The Timekeepers are essentially brainwashing these variants. And in this episode, we see Sylvie using her powers on a TVA agent to a repressed memory from like hundreds of years ago. Which is insane, because how are these people hundreds of years old? I know time passes differently here in the TVA, but Mobius quote, when that's one of the first things we hear him say when he's talking to Loki in the elevator when they first meet, time passes differently here in the TVA. So somehow these people are hundreds of years old, and they've been like brainwashed. I still have some dark feelings about missed minutes. I have some foreboding feelings about that. And every time in the credits, I don't know if you look through the credits or sit through the credits. I do personally. We see a red missed minutes playing on a computer monitor. It freaks me out, man. It's like some, I don't know why. It's not, I'm not going on the Mephisto thing again with the red, but it's red just feels like a red, like demonic. It's creepy. I don't like red missed minutes. And again, there's some weird sinister undertones of missed minutes here, you know? And, that would be really funny. Behind the timekeepers it's really just missed minutes, and it's just an actual clock, not a hologram. It's just an actual clock that looks like missed minutes, made out of like wood or whatever. And Judge Renslayer like walks into the throne room, and there's just a giant clock just sitting there, looking like a cartoon but made entirely out of wood, just sitting there, just a giant clock. And it's like, I don't know. I was going to do a bit there, but you get the idea. A giant wooden cartoon clock ruling interdimensional space cops. It would be insane. It would be hilarious. And honestly, come to think of it, given how crazy and insane Loki is, I would be surprised, but it's within the realm of possibility. Let's leave it at that. I mean, if Kang ruling the TVA and being behind the timekeepers is a possibility, and again, there's something going on with that metal timekeeper. I think he might be Kang. I'm just saying it. Or at the very least, he like broke away from the TVA and went rogue, and maybe he's like a variant of Kang. I haven't been able to address this, but in the credits we see that one person can become like 9 different variants. It seems like there's a limit on that, 9 different variants. And in the little like training short that we see in the beginning, the guy who's late for work in the Miss Minutes video splits into 9 different variants. So it seems like there's 9 different variations that you can split into. But again, they say that they've taken down a lot of Loki variants. It's strange. I'm trying to figure out if there can only be like 9 variants, or if there's an infinite number of variants. What's going on in that situation? But there's something interesting there. I just want to point that out. I have a feeling it's going to come up in the next episode. And again, I think Judd Renslayer is going to visit the timekeepers, or whoever's controlling the timekeepers, or whoever is, you know, behind the timekeepers, and the timekeepers don't actually exist. Whatever that is, she's going to go visit the person in charge, the guy in charge, or girl in charge, whoever. Seriously, though, that Miss Minutes thing with her rolling the TVA, that would be crazy, because she's been on a lot of Loki posters. It would be insane. Thanks for visiting the TVA. I'm gonna stop trying to do impressions, because that sounded vaguely British. And that's nothing like what Miss Minutes sounds like. She's very Southern. It sounded vaguely British. I'm just going to stop trying to do that. Tara Strong is the voice actor, by the way. So, yes. I'm hoping one of my theories here is proven correct. Again, I don't really have any way to know whether or not it will be, obviously. Because waiting until the episode comes out. I'm probably cutting it pretty close with when this episode is going to get published. Maybe it might be like a couple hours before the episode actually releases. Maybe at like, I don't know, like 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. I might be, because by the time I'm done editing this podcast, it's probably going to be release time of that. On Tuesday, and Eastern Standard Time, Loki releases at like 3 a.m. So it'll be cutting it pretty close. But yeah, so these are my predictions. And again, I'm just pointing out little details that are interesting. The red, like, demonic-looking Miss Minutes gives me a bad feeling. So I want to point that out. I think there might be other functions for Miss Minutes, other things, because she keeps showing up, you know, on the temp pads, on there's buttons for Miss Minutes all over the place, in the elevator, on computer pads, everywhere. I feel like there's some sinister motive behind Miss Minutes. There absolutely is something sinister behind that. And whether or not she's actually ruling the TVA, because that would be hilarious if she was. Again, just pointing it out, I have to say it every episode. If we do not get Loki, if we do not get Mobius riding a jet ski by the end of Loki season one, I will be very sad and furious, and I will wait until Loki season two, and they better give it to us then. The finale better have Mobius on a jet ski. And with that, I bid you adieu. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next time.